All right, ladies and gentlemen, when it comes to these matters of the heart, and particularly when the heart has been hurt, one of the things that the heart lady was sharing with us is that there are at least two reasons that a lot of times we won't go ahead and deal with those heart matters. One, unawareness. The other, fear. And regardless of which reason it is that we don't deal with it, it can be counterproductive to not work with it, to not deal with it, to not work through whatever the issue was that caused the pain, that caused the hurt, that caused the damage to the heart. And I'm curious, Heart Lady, do you find that these matters of the heart that cause the pain, particularly when we look at adults, do they tend to be any more traumatic for one gender than for the other? Or does it seem to have just about as great an impact on both genders as, you know, one as on the other?
So that's an interesting question. I think one, it depends on the individual. It also depends on what type of support system they have around them and how they were dealt with. I think I would probably say more so probably for men, because men, society teaches young men how not to express any emotion. You know, so all of that stuff is, you know, my professional word, stuff. It's all really just suppressed, repressed, and there's very few outlets for it except for, you know, physical. And that's why I think there's, you know, just a big hoopla over sports activities, because that's the release of all of the stuff that's inside. And but interestingly enough, though, as I look at, you know, my own experience and I look at how things are dealt with, it also depends on the personality type, because I think when I look at my parents, I don't know who had the most trauma, but I know that I'm understanding as a young adult, well, not as a young adult, but as a mother and as an adult now, I'm understanding more about what some of my mother's issues were. But my father was not the one who really, a lot of that stuff came out. So I think probably perhaps he internalized it. So I'm not sure. I would actually think that for each person, it's their own individual journey.
And the most important thing is that each person, regardless of gender, really do try to complete that journey, not get stuck in neutral where whatever caused the pain just stays there and we don't work it out. We don't work through it. We don't walk through it. But instead, we move through it as skillfully as possible. And you make such a great point that for so often, for so long, males in particular have been indeed, as you said, taught not to experience emotion. Don't show it. Don't experience it. Emotion is not supposed to be part of our equation at all. And of course, we know that that is a fallacy. There's no way that we can get rid of emotion. We're born with them, and they develop with us, whether they develop properly or improperly. What are some of the things that you have found to really be helpful in bringing people out, whether they be male or female? I think you came up with a great idea. You wanted to start with the adults with this. What have you found to be some of the mechanisms that help adults go ahead and release so that they do go ahead and start dealing with those heart issues?
Well, I think just on a personal level, just validating their experiences. So they're talking about being frustrated. You know, we have conversations rather than trying to explain it to them. Most times we try to tell people, oh, well, it's not important. One is to validate someone's experience and understand, you know, the frustration of whatever it is that they're dealing with. And I think just simply sometimes just asking a question and saying, you know, like, where do you think that came from? You know, and I think because I've been doing it so long, people say, well, you know, that's a therapist's response. But I think I'm a therapist because I think that was always with me. I was always asking questions. And people want to be heard. And when they know that you're interested in hearing what they have to say, they're willing to open up and talk. So I don't, you know, think it really makes that much of a difference. And I think when people are referred to therapy, unfortunately, it's because there's been some type of family crisis. And what I noticed, this is with my young people, when parents are referred, to, like especially to Child Protective Services or through, you know, the court for anger management, there's usually some resistance in the coming because they think someone is going to sit down and judge them or lecture them. And when they are given an opportunity to talk to all of, you know, the things that they've been very come out, they're somewhat surprised themselves, but they walk away feeling relieved. So I think just letting it out letting it out.
And so as you've had the parents who have let things out, which is so critical, do you find that there are certain types of circumstances that have been common to many of them, or are they very, very different? And the second question to that, the second part of that, are to the extent that you're free to discuss this with us, what are some of the types of issues that do come up that have been found to be problematic for the family as it pertains specifically to the parents?
Okay, can you repeat question one again, please?
Yeah, I'm sorry. When it comes to the types of issues that they find themselves dealing with, do they seem to be some of the same issues that recur from one family to the other? Are they kind of different issues?
They're probably similar. They just look slightly different, but when you get to the core, they're the same. For me, a lot of times it's been when a parent has been referred to Child Protective Services for physical discipline of their child, which may have gone overboard. For children, especially teenagers, when they're running away and people, you know, say, well, you know, they need to be placed somewhere, of what's going on in the family. Because people are quick to point the blame at the adult. And that's the other thing that makes it difficult for adults. And even as an adopted parent myself, I ended up on that end of it when people were pointing the finger at me. And for the most part, it wasn't totally about me, but we both needed it. It triggered some things within me. And there weren't therapists who weren't competent for the most part enough to really look in and to see what was going on. So I think usually if it's something around the child getting in trouble with their problems in school, with behaviors, or something like that, or if something comes up within the family, and I think I discussed on our previous interview the whole issue of sexual abuse.
Yes.
Usually that's something that really blows everything out of the water and brings the family into, once it's disclosed, and into a therapeutic setting, because it has to be dealt with. And a lot of times when I used to do a support group for the parents, for the mothers of children who had been sexually abused, a large percentage of those mothers had also been sexually abused themselves and had not even talked about it. And there were some stories, you know, women in their 40s and 50s, you know, it was just amazing who they had never spoken to anyone about the pain that had gone on, which had a lot to do with why they selected the people that they selected to co-parent with.
And that was one of those subconscious things where, without even realizing it, they found themselves connecting with someone who would also perpetrate sexual abuse on their children.
Mm-hmm.
That is amazing. And what did they think about what was going on within their own hearts? Was it something that they had, quote unquote, buried? Or was it something that they kind of lived with year in and year out, even for those 40 or 50 years?
I think, again, both. Some of the parents, you know, were like, you know, it's when I would just ask the question, and I would say, that almost sounds like something similar to your own childhood. And they would, like, tilt their head and say, it's like it was just something new to them. It's like, I never thought about that. Hmm. So for some, it was a very, you know, much of an eye-opener and awakening for them to do something different. For others, it was a fear. If they saw something that they did not acknowledge, it's because either they had had a negative experience sharing that with someone when they were children, they either were not believed, or they just totally kept it in because they were afraid. So they grew up not learning how to speak up. So that became an issue. And sometimes that same pattern happens even between the parent and child. So especially single mothers with sons may have sons that grow up to be somewhat abusive to the mom, because there's either patterns after the male role model that was in their life who mom may have selected, or because the mom may have been either overly aggressive with that child because she was angry with men in general, or because she did not speak up. So, you know, it's hard to just put all in one category. Mm-hmm. Those are the two extremes. So, yeah, and those patterns set in. And so the mom is hurting, that it comes across as anger, or it comes across as depression, and she just, you know, it's like, this is life. This is the way it goes.
And they just decided to just grin and bear it. for the rest of their lives. Mm-hmm. The Heart Lady, Miss Evelyn Polk, and I'll be right back, ladies and gentlemen. As I mentioned, part of the conversation is going to focus on how the parents can develop their relationships with their children. That's a conversation, as you can tell, is for the parents and the children. So keep listening. We'll be right back.